Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Catherine Irving. On this week's recap, KMXT visits an outgoing professor in her office at Kodiak College.
My ultimate goal has always been to get my teaching degree and move home to teach.
More on that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at KodiakHealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
First up, the MV Testamina canceled its sailings for yesterday and today due to mechanical issues with the bow thruster. According to a service notice posted on the Alaska Marine Highway System's website, the Testy should be back in service by Saturday morning. The cancellations come at a challenging time for rescheduling. The Testamina is slated for a chain run starting on Wednesday, meaning that she will be headed to the Aleutian Islands and won't return to Kodiak until the night of June 8th. According to a notice posted on Facebook by the local ferry terminal manager, space on board the Testy to and from Kodiak is, quote, incredibly full, both before and after the chain run, and passengers with vehicles may not be able to rebook until late June. Although this is the first malfunction-induced cancellation of the season, it is one of many in the vessel's long history. At 62 years old, the Testy has more than doubled her expected service lifespan and is the oldest active mainliner ferry in the state's fleet. The ferry spent extended time in the shipyard at the beginning of 2024 and had to be brought back in for repairs at the beginning of that October, resulting in nearly a week of cancellations. A build contract for the Testamina replacement project went out to bid at the end of January. According to Marine Highway System Public Information Officer Gabe Strong, the bidding period has been extended to June 25th to allow bidders more time to put together their applications. The new ferry is scheduled to be finished by the end of January 2029, according to the bid notice. To see the latest Testamina sailing schedule and cancellations, go online to ferryalaska.com. Next up, after 8 a.m. on Memorial Day, a Kodiak teenager was found dead in the Pisag Shack area, according to Alaska State Troopers. Troopers say the 17-year-old boy was involved in a single-vehicle car crash and went off the road into the water and mud in Lake Rose Teed. The teenager, who was driving, was trapped inside the submerged car, and law enforcement say they were unable to immediately remove him when they arrived. The driver was the sole person involved in the crash, and troopers say he's believed to have died earlier that morning. Troopers did not say if alcohol was a factor or not. The state medical examiner's office will do an autopsy on the teenager, and the investigation is ongoing. Next up, leptospirosis is a widespread disease in the lower 48 that can be deadly to dogs. For the most part, veterinarians say it isn't a problem in Alaska yet, but as KMXT reports, some vets are pushing for dogs to get vaccinated now. Leptospirosis is a bacterial disease that spreads through contact with infected surfaces, like contaminated water, animal carcasses, or other bodily fluids. The bacteria can infect a wide range of animals, but it's particularly dangerous for dogs. Greg Kloster is the medical director at the Alaska SPCA in Anchorage. He says leptospirosis can cause kidney and liver failure, which can be fatal.
I used to practice down in the lower 48 and saw a couple cases of leptospirosis, and it's a hard thing to see.
The disease can also spread to people from dogs and between infected people. According to Nina Hansen, the attending veterinarian at the University of Alaska, cases are treated very seriously in the lower 48.
So I came from Illinois, where there's Leptospira all over the place. We had them in our ICU. We treat them as a biohazard because we don't want any of the vets or people to get infected.
But when she moved to Alaska in 2007, the owner of the clinic she worked at told her the disease didn't exist here. Until it did.
I got involved with a project with Fish and Game, and Fish and Game was actually harvesting some caribou to just kind of assess their health. And one of these caribou, we cut open the kidney, and it was full of pus.
They sent that kidney off for analysis and found it was infected with Leptospira bacteria.
So I remembered that conversation with the clinic owner that was probably 5 years prior, who said, we don't have it here. And I was like, well, look, we're wrong. We have it here.
So leptospirosis does exist in Alaska. Cases have remained pretty sporadic over the past 10 years, but of every community in the state, Kodiak has had the most. Hannah Harper is a certified veterinary technician at the Kodiak Veterinary Clinic. She says there isn't research yet on why Kodiak has had more cases than elsewhere, but there are a few potential reasons.
Kodiak's very wet, rain, puddles, stagnant water everywhere, and we have a lot of wildlife too. So I think all those factors kind of just increase the potential.
She adds that Kodiak's Coast Guard base brings a lot of people and dogs in and out of the state, so dogs could be bringing the disease from the lower 48. According to data from the State Veterinary Department, a Kodiak dog died from leptospirosis for the first time in 2019, and another Kodiak dog died from the disease the following year. According to Harper, both dogs were staying at fish camps when they were infected. Harper says that they have had several suspected cases in dogs since then, but none that have tested positive for the disease. She says that because mild symptoms of leptospirosis can look a lot like other illnesses, fever, lethargy, vomiting, diarrhea, people might not bring their pets to the vet, and vets might not test for it.
I think it probably has been here. We just haven't had the information, you know, to say positively.
She says the Kodiak Vet Clinic started vaccinating for the disease about 4 years ago. They've made it a part of their puppy vaccine package and recommend it for all dogs who spend a lot of time outdoors. Even though the disease hasn't become widespread in mainland Alaska at this point, the Alaska SPCA also decided to make leptospirosis one of their core vaccines at the end of last year. Competitive sled dog races across the state, like the Iditarod, also require that every competing canine be vaccinated against the disease. Hansen with the University of Alaska thinks that's a good call.
Why not just get ahead of it and start vaccinating our dogs for it before it becomes a big problem? Because it lives in water. And as the climate gets warmer and as we have warmer summers and standing water for more months of the year, I think it's going to get worse.
Other than getting their dogs vaccinated against the disease, Hansen says dog owners can decrease the risk by keeping their pets away from standing water, like puddles and ponds. And if dogs or their owners are showing symptoms, she says to go to a vet or doctor right away. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving. Next up, at least 18 candidates are vying to be the next governor of Alaska in this year's primary election. One of those candidates is a former state legislator from Fairbanks, Republican Clark Bishop, who goes by Click. KMXT's Davis Hovey spoke with Bishop during his visit to Kodiak last week for Crapfest and has this report.
My name's Click Bishop, 68 years old. First came to Alaska when I was 18 months old, and my dad worked construction, and my wife and I, we've known each other since childhood, and our dads worked together. So anyway, I worked, bounced all over the state as a construction brat kid, and Fairbanks was always kind of home base. Then I graduated from Lathrop in December of 74 and went to work on taps and construction in the field, pipeline work in the winter, and civil construction in the summer. Then I managed my union's apprenticeship program statewide for 20 years, and then Governor Palin called me to ask me if I would like to come be Commissioner of Labor, and so that's how I got involved with the state government.
Tell me a little bit about what your priorities are and, you know, what you would focus on if you were elected as governor.
First thing is cheap energy. I just want to emulate Kodiak on the rail belt. I mean, if people in Kodiak were paying what we were paying in Fairbanks, they would be screaming off the rooftops here. Cheap energy. And I have a energy plan that it is ready to go on day one if we get elected. And also, the second thing is growing the economy and actually cheap energy and growing the economy, or they're joined at the hip. Anytime you can lower your electric rates, and I'd love to cut them in half on the rail belt. Third thing is education. I just had this conversation 2 days ago with a group of educators in Anchorage, and the data hasn't changed. 75% of the kids that graduate the high school right up here, 75% of them are better served to go into an apprenticeable occupation or a two-year AA degree. The other 25% are destined for higher ed you know, doctors, lawyers, engineers, what have you. But we don't put enough into the BSA increment to expand career and tech ed. And I want to expand career and technical education inside the base student allocation. You know, when you got the CEO of a Ford Motor Company, Jim Farley, saying, I'm 5,000 mechanics short, it's right on point. We need more tradespeople. And we needed them yesterday, you know.
Yes, of course. We're here in Kodiak, commercial fishing town. Mm-hmm. All gear types, all sectors, though, are kind of struggling right now, whether you're a processor or a jig fisherman or a trawler, whoever. But, you know, the global markets, the Russian seafood, the price at the docks, the fuel, it's all not great.
Absolutely.
What would you kind of focus on to help address, you know, the needs of the commercial fishing industry?
The fastest thing I think that we can do to help the seafood industry, especially because we're competitive on a global market, right? We've got to end that war in Ukraine's got to be over with, and it's got to be over with yesterday. And we've got to get diplomatic relationships open back up in Asia, and that includes Russia. So that's part one. Part two is I want to work with the White House, the State Department, our delegation to try to open up those diplomatic relations to expand into data sharing on bycatch, right? If we're catching 50% of their chum by genetic testing, I want to know how many of our chum they're catching, right? Yeah. Or Chinook salmon. We're all eating out of the same breadbasket, but diplomatic relations, first and foremost, get back to sharing the science. Third thing is we got to be competitive on a global stage. That means funding ASME's budget, Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, to what it needs to be funded.
Obviously, everyone loves to talk about the permanent fund dividend and mm-hmm. what level that should be set at. My question is just, where do you stand on supporting the full statutory PFD?
Oh, if you could pay it. If you could pay it, you know, and you've got the bank account to pay it without breaking the treasury, that's fine. I've been in those debates and those slogs, and we had it. A formula passed in 2018, right? And obviously the House couldn't get there. We only got half of that bill passed, and that was the structured POMV draw, not to overdraw the ERA. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I'll tell you right out of the gate, I'm not going to introduce a budget that's $1.5 billion underwater. It'll be a balanced budget.
Again, that was gubernatorial candidate Clique Bishop speaking with KMXT's Davis Hovey earlier this month. You can listen to the full conversation online at kmxt.org. Next up, a landing craft capsized off the coast of Narrow Cape, about 50 road miles southeast of Kodiak, on Saturday. The Coast Guard rescued two people who were stranded on the hull of the boat, and no injuries were reported. According to a social media post from the Coast Guard Arctic District, on May 23rd, staff from Air Station Kodiak were relaxing on Fossil Beach in the afternoon when they saw debris washing up on shore. The Coast Guard personnel, including the unit's commanding officer, then spotted two mariners in distress about a mile offshore on top of a capsized boat. An MH-60 helicopter and crew from Air Station Kodiak rescued the two stranded boaters shortly after and brought them back to town without injuries. The Coast Guard did not identify the name of the landing craft or what caused it to capsize. According to the Kodiak Daily Mirror, the boat was the Stellar One, which was formerly based in Homer and was listed for sale online earlier this year. Next up, another one of the 18 candidates vying to be the next governor of Alaska visited Kodiak this month. Former state legislator from Palmer, Republican Shelley Hughes, and her lieutenant governor candidate, Blake Geddes, spoke to KMXT during their visit to Kodiak last week.
Well, hello, Kodiak residents. I'm Shelley Hughes, and I am running for governor because I think it is very important for us to have a vibrant future. And frankly, I'm concerned we're losing too many young people and things have become quite unaffordable. So I want to tackle that from the ground up, and I'm full of pragmatic solutions. I welcome everyone to look at my website, alaskansforhughes.com. I abhor one-line slogans. I abhor empty promises. And there are very specific things that we can do, an action plan, and I'm ready to get to work. I've lived here 50 years, And I have a handle on the issues from serving 4 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate. Good relationships across the board, both with Republicans and Democrats. And I'm ready to get to work.
So yeah, I guess for Kodiak, the big topic that people are interested in is fishing. And so there's many commercial fishermen here across gear types, sectors, and the industry as a whole is sort of struggling right now. So I guess how would you propose addressing some of the issues that are currently plaguing our commercial fishing industry?
It's the heart and soul of this community, and it comes with ups and downs. And so I've been listening to the fishermen and some of the concerns they have, and very aware of the challenges currently faced with in regards to trawling. I am blessed to have a person that's on the Board of Fisheries actually as part of my team. I have a strong policy team, and we've been looking at the Fish and Game Department and how, you know, to make things more fair and balanced and science-based. Now, I'll take the opportunity because I have my lieutenant governor running mate, and I'm proud and really happy that retired Brigadier General Blake Geddes agreed to come on board.
You can't just have winners and losers. You have to have a compromise and make sure that everybody is listened to and taken care of. So that really applies to our fisheries. We have to ensure that that one fishery doesn't lose out at the expense of another, or gain at the expense of another fishery. So I'm very interested. I'm not very knowledgeable yet on the commercial side, but I have been asking a lot of questions on the commercial side.
So yeah, our next question is related to our ferry system, which is another big aspect of Kodiak. It's vital for our transportation, especially in the summer. So what is your stance on the Alaska Marine Highway System as a whole? How would you support it or change it?
Well, having lived in Southeast Alaska, I understand the importance of the ferry system. It has the word highway in it for a reason. I think there have been task force and recommendations that I don't think we have really taken seriously and moved forward. And I think we have to look at the solutions that are going to be able to get the a system moving where you can have smaller vessels, maybe more frequent passenger services, larger vessels for the vehicles, and do our best to increase the schedule. And I remember years ago in the 70s and the 80s, you'd get on the ferry and you'd want to hurry and get on so you can actually get a place to sit because there would be so many people on the ferry. We don't see as many tourists on the ferries. And I think if we could promote that, a public-private partnership with the ferries also might be a solution.
And moving on to education, as far as education funding goes in our state, what do you think is an appropriate amount of funding for the base student allocation?
I'm not going to name a particular number. My concern is that I look at the academic outcomes. And the entire time I served, I focused on that. In schools across the state, the average proficiency, that means the kids that are on grade level statewide, is only 30%. That's dismal. In some schools, it's as low as 5 to 10%. That's not acceptable. There have been court cases on that. It should be, you have to target to instructional strategies that are proven and that worked. And so it was actually, the REEDS Act was originally my bill, which I strategized to be put into a committee bill, which then got folded into the governor's bill and became law. And that's beginning to help our kindergarten through third graders. I also introduced the MATH Act before I left, and now that's being carried by Senator Robert Myers and Representative Jubilee Underwood. So when we target the funds toward things like that, it will actually help our children.
And you kind of touched on this at the beginning, but the cost of living in rural Alaska is high and continues to increase with fuel, groceries, and housing prices going up. So how would you focus on keeping that cost of living down across the state?
I'll just say cheap energy underpins everything. So it's going to impact what it costs to run our schools. It impacts the cost of groceries, every good and service. So that's going to help fundamentally over time.
Again, that was gubernatorial candidate Shelley Hughes speaking with KMXT earlier this month. You can listen to the full conversation online at kmxt.org. Last up, an education professor in Kodiak who has spent years developing homegrown teachers across Alaska and building the pipeline to drive more into the high-demand profession is retiring. KMXT's Davis Hovey visited the outgoing professor in her office at Kodiak College.
A dozen photos of various smiling teachers wearing their college graduation caps and gowns adorn Kitty Deal's wall.
And so that's Michelle Griffin, Jessica Skomberg, and then it just keeps going.
They're Deal's former students from her 17 years with the college, who went on to become teachers and paraprofessionals. Deal highlights another former student who went on to teach in the rural community of Port Lyons, northwest of Kodiak. Deal visited years ago and saw how crucial the teacher and school were in the community.
Even the building itself is an important part of the community. It was right. Like, this is what's important. That was in 2014, and that's when I was applying to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I remember that, you know, it was informing what I knew I wanted to do.
Her dissertation for her doctorate in Indigenous Studies was about helping educators understand how to recruit and retain Alaska Natives to teach through place-based participatory research.
We've got this revolving door of teachers who come, but then they leave. And that's not good for our children. It's not good for our schools.
Deal had spent most of her tenure with the college focusing on this issue. According to a press release from Kodiak College, around 2016, she co-authored a $5 million grant to support arts integration and culturally responsive teaching practices across the Kodiak Island Borough School District. In 2022, the U.S. Departments of Labor and Education started the Teacher Registered Apprenticeship Program. Deal wrote a workforce grant that helped establish it in Alaska. Since the UA system started offering these apprenticeships, there's been growing interest.
In fall of 24, we were hoping for 15 and we got 40. By the spring, we had over 50. Here we are looking at fall of 26, which is 2 years later. We are anticipating 95.
And Deal says those future teachers are spread across Alaska, not just in Kodiak. Like Nina Crumry, who started her higher education at University of Alaska Fairbanks in 2009 and just graduated this month.
There were a number of years where I took time off because I had children and I would take classes here and there.
Crumry's journey to her degree in elementary education from the University of Alaska Southeast has not been straightforward or steady, but she says her goal has been.
My ultimate goal has always been to get my teaching degree and move home to teach, because that's just where I want to be.
Crumry is from Old Harbor on the southeast side of Kodiak Island.
When I was growing up, I had some amazing teachers. Carly Gunderson was one, and she really inspired me to come back home.
Crumry is moving home to Old Harbor in June and plans to apply for a teaching position at the rural school when one opens up. And that, Deal says, is what all of her years focusing on growing Alaska teachers has been about.
Most of our students are working, and so it takes them longer than 4 years to graduate. So to be able to hire someone who already knows and understands the nuances of island living, you know that the likelihood is that you're going to keep them.
Deal's last day with Kodiak College in the university system is June 30th, but she says her early childhood education journey will continue as she spends more time with her grandchildren. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, 988 provides connection to free, confidential support. There is hope. The Lifeline works. For 24/7 confidential support, just call, text, or chat 988. This message is brought to you by the Kodiak Area Native Association.
If you enjoy the podcast and want to support local news centered around the Kodiak Archipelago, make sure to donate to KMXT. Just go on our website at kmxt.org and click the donate button in the top right corner of the page. And that's it for this week's edition of the KMXT Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm your host, Catherine Irving. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.